I want to bless each of you for your presence here with us. I hope you didn't come because of me, but I want to tell you something. I am very glad to be here. I don't know if you're glad to be here or not, but this evening is going to be, I'm not going to preach to you. There's a side of me that I enjoy teaching better than preaching, and sometimes I say I'm going to teach, and all of a sudden I am preaching or acting like I'm preaching. So I have a subject here that I'm just learning about, and I'm going to share with you like I'm in first grade with this subject. So hopefully it will be up high enough that you can understand what I'm trying to say. But it's a subject that Elsie and I we're on a journey to understand, and it has to do with our mind, and it has to do with why we think the way we do, and how that whole thing works. So I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to read, we want to read together verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And the way that we read well together is by watching the punctuation. So when we get to commas, then we make just a brief pause, and that's how we want to stay together. And I think we'll read verses together. We'll read verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Okay, let's begin. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Thank you. Now, I want to just simply, I sure can't get very technical tonight, but the brain is quite something. The brain part of our body is quite an organ. And I want you to differentiate with me tonight about the difference between the brain and the mind. So think about that. The difference between the brain and the mind. Now, to start out, I just want to tell you that the brain is totally controlled by the mind. The mind is what tells the brain what to do. And then the brain is that organ. That's simply what the brain is. The brain is that organ that is just like your heart. The heart is an organ that is designed by God to circulate your blood all through your body. The brain is that organ of your body that makes that you can have action. Every action of your body is controlled by your brain. The brain is what is where action comes from. But the action that the brain, the mind is what controls the brain, and then the brain puts into action what the mind is wanting you to do. So think about this. I'm going to tell you two stories, and you may say, Delbert, this is really not the way it is, but it is. Trust me. Trust me. So we're in Florida this winter, and I'm having conversation with a lady that used to be an Amish lady. And she told me that she was sitting in church as an Amish lady. And it was in the summertime, a very warm day in the summer. And she was in there. It was very warm. The windows were open, and she got very warm to the point that she was getting ready to get up and leave and go outside because she was that warm. And then okay, I think I'll back up just a little bit. The windows were closed. And then she heard a window open, And she thought, now it's going to cool off. And immediately, it started cooling off. Guess what? After church, she discovers that the windows were indeed open, and older lady closed the window. And what I'm telling you is that this is what happened there, is she was sitting there and was getting very, very warm. And I don't know, this is all new for me, so I can't talk technical here tonight. But what happens to your brain is there are 7 chemicals that your mind like releases over your brain. And that's, take for instance, when a young fellow is really infatuated with a girl. Remember how that was years ago? I'm still infatuated with my wife, but you know, it's 50 years later, it's a little different. But what happens is there are chemicals that get released that when that boy thinks about that girl, there's this fuzzy, wuzzy, woo, I like this girl, you know? And that's a chemical that actually gets released. It's the chemical that is the dopamine chemical. It's the chemical of pleasure. It's the chemical of reward, of good feelings. And what's interesting is that, so this girl, this lady is sitting there, and there is a chemical that gets released over her brain that she needs to get up and move. That's the chemical that's fight and flight, it's called. It's the chemical that makes you, all of a sudden, you have to just get up and move and get out of there. And so that's what was starting to get released over her, but then all of a sudden, when she heard the window open, the brain went and released the pleasure chemical that said, yeah, this is going to cool off. But in fact, the window was being closed. And that just tells us that people, that story was so dynamic to me, that the mind, people make themselves, that's why people can believe things that are absolutely not fact, is because they see something, they hear something, and all of a sudden they respond, and it's all because of the brain releasing these chemicals. The other story that I want to tell you is, it's a new story for me, it's just a story that I heard today at our fellowship lunch. Twin boys. And one of the boys was identified all the way through school as DT. That was his nickname, the letter D and the letter T. So he was like DT. And so, you know, in school, like, hey, DT, you can't be in our team. You can play over in the girls' team. And those type of things. And he grew up that he was, and DT stood for dumb twin. Dumb twin. That's what the letter stood for. And so he went all the way through school, or most of the way through school, as DT. His name was Les. But everybody called him DT because he was the dumb twin. So what is happening here in his mind about this label? One year, they got a new teacher. And this teacher didn't know anything about DT. And one of the first days of school, the teacher asked DT to do something. And the rest of the class was like, she doesn't know, but he can't do that. And the teacher was like, what do you mean he can't do that? And she was like, no, he can't. And that was the beginning of a journey for that young man where someone had confidence in him. Now again, you know what was happening? This chemical gets released. This chemical gets released. And, sorry,
you're doing just fine. I can hear. But there's a lot of seasoned citizens that have trouble.
Okay.
So we'll mic you if that's all right. Because we're in your ear. This behind your hair. Okay. Let's see it real quick right here.
This way we can shock you when it's closing.
Okay. I see there's a timer up here in this pulpit. Is that better? And what happens is this young boy, when you have continued similar thought patterns, your brain develops paths. They're called neuropaths. Neuro is brain. Your brain has what's called neuropaths. And that means that it's just like, I call them cow paths. You've seen these fields, especially if you go into an area where there's the topography is rolling, and you see these pasture fields where these cows, the cattle out there, always take a certain path when they walk through a certain part of the field. And they have these paths that they walk on. And they're called neuropaths. And when what happens is you have these thoughts of habit. And let's just use the illustration that someone takes advantage of you financially. Let's say it's here in church. What happens when that person walks in? Years later, there's a path in the brain that immediately, and you go right over there, and you think about, he's okay, but you know, he's really not your friend because he took advantage of you. And when I think about the mind and what the Bible says about the mind, there's a reason that I had us read together this verse, because this verse says, at the end, it says, think on these things. And did you notice there's nothing negative in that verse that we should concentrate on? So what does that tell us about our Christian walk of life? That tells us that our Christian walk of life should primarily, very strongly, have positive thought patterns. That when you come to church, there's positive thought patterns in your brain about church. There's positive thought patterns about your leadership. There's positive thought patterns about your parents. And you know what? Some of us have parents that did the best, but it wasn't good. But we can still have patterns where we have patterns of respect and care and those type of things. And I want you to really think, the objective that I have here this week, here this evening, is I want us to really evaluate and evaluate together as husband and wife if that's possible. Just talk about your general thought patterns. Are they negative or are they positive? Are they negative or positive? And I just made a drawing here because there's some things that I honestly don't understand everything about this. But I have been trying to determine, I don't know if you can see or not, I tried to determine what the difference is between the heart and the mind. And recently I was at a meeting, and the Bible makes a distinction. Like, take for instance the verse that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy, what? Heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Some say might, some verses say, I think there's a verse that says might and mind. So there's something distinctive about the brain, about the heart and the mind. And I was at a meeting recently, and this is what they said. They said they've been trying to figure out the difference between heart and mind, and they said it's like a well. Way down at the bottom of the well is your heart. And out of the, see, the scriptures say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see this journey here? You can't speak unless it goes through your brain. You can't speak unless you have a mind. And the mind here is what determines the activity of your brain. So, as I was thinking about that, I like that illustration where it's like a well, and you see this is underground here, and way down at the bottom is your heart. And they described it like this, that your heart really consists of, way down at the bottom is the seat of humanity, who you really are as a human being. And down there at the bottom of who you are as a human being, you have passions, you have appetites, and you have affection. Now, passions have to do with what you feel very strong about. You know, I could have listened to Ernie tonight and I could have said, you know, Daryl may have had a passion about trucks. Would that have been accurate? Because he said his whole life was wrapped up in trucks. And so, passions are what, in way down deep in your heart, what you feel strong about. Appetites have to do with what you feed on. What you feed on. If you feed on negative, all the negative information that you can get your hands on, that's who you become. That's your real heart. And it also has to do with affections. And affections is where your feelings are. And you know, we say, oh, don't go by feelings. But I want to tell you, feelings are a part of our life, if we want to admit it or not, and they're okay. Take for instance, in Colossians chapter 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, affection has to do with, you know what? I love Elsie. But you know, it's not that I just love her. I also have some pretty deep feelings about her. I have some deep feelings about her. And that's way down here. See, what happens is when husband and wife get into trouble with each other and there's problems, guess what happens? Those feelings for each other, that affection that is to be part of our lives, kind of becomes less important and less important, and someone else moves into that affectionate area. So your heart, the actual foundation of your humanity, is made up of your passions, what you feel strong about. And it has to do with your appetites, what you feed on, and it has to do with your affection, your feelings. Your mind, then, here, is where choice is made. And this is what's so phenomenal. If you want to really learn about this, I would encourage you, there's a website of Dr. Caroline Leaf. Leaf is spelled just like a leaf on a tree. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she is a Christian neuroscientist. And you can learn a lot about what I'm teaching here tonight in such an elementary way by listening to her. Because she will tell you that thought, will, and choice is right here in the mind. Thought, will, and choice is right here in the mind. And you know, you make choices, so it's like your mind is, I can't even describe it, how fast your mind can take a thought and put it into your brain and it becomes an action. It's so fast you can't even, and sciences have been trying to figure out how it can be that fast, but that's the way it is. And I want us to think about this mind and what's in your heart. What's in your heart? See, the heart is that part of you that is very personal. It's that part of you that most of the time we don't talk about. Most of the time we don't talk about, really, what are the passions of my heart? That gets very personal. That gets very personal. But I want to talk about the benefit for you as a believer. That when your heart, something happens to your heart when you become born again. What happens to your heart when you become born again? When you become born again, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, there's a statement where Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what happens when you become born again, this dirty part of your heart becomes cleansed, totally cleansed, and made pure. Now, we all know what pure means. That means that there's no defilements. Periodically, I get carried away and I like little silver coins. And so, I'll look for coins that are stamp right on the coin. It says 0.999 pure. Now that's pretty close, isn't it? But it's not quite. Then I bought some Canadian little $5 silver coins, and it said 0.9999. That's also not quite. That means that it's 1/1000th close. 1/10000th close. 1/10000th close to being pure. But when God comes at the new birth and cleanses us, Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 says, who has washed us from our sins in His own blood. Who has washed us from our sins in His own blood. And when Christ washes us from our sins, we have a pure heart. There's something else that happens then at the new birth. At the new birth, our heart is made pure because we are washed. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. Romans 12, verse 2 says that the mind becomes renewed. That's another step of the new birth. At the new birth, a person's mind becomes renewed. Now that simply means that, I'll give you an illustration. In my years ago, I was wanting to know more about God. And our deacon gave me a book, because he was in the same journey I was. And he gave me a book entitled, They Found the Secret. And I read that book, because these people that were in this book had found the secret to fullness in Christ. I wanted to know what that was. I was on a journey. And one of the things that it said in that book is that this man got converted. And you know, he said, I couldn't believe what happened to my mind. He said, I'm walking down the sidewalk, and these earthworms, you know, the night crawlers, they're crawling across the sidewalk. And he said, my heart just loved those worms. That's how his heart was changed. And then that affected his mind and how he looked at other people and how he looked at things. So that is definitely something that happens at the new birth, is our heart is made pure and our mind is renewed. Now, what does that look like then in everyday Christian life? That's the question. For you, what does that look like? What does that look like in your life? What does it look like in your marriage? If you're born again, what does it look like to know that when we became born again, we have a pure heart and a renewed mind? And see, that's why then we come back to Philippians chapter 4 and the verse that we read together, where we said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Now, we can train our mind to think on positive things. We can train our mind to think on negative things. You can get up in the morning and everything that you see for that day is negative. I want to tell you, if that's you tonight, if you get up in the morning and your mind immediately goes to all the negative things that may happen that day, Caroline Leaf would say that you have toxic thinking. Caroline Leaf would say it's stinking. It is rotten. And I want to encourage you to truly think about how you can have positive thoughts about each other as husband and wife, about life in general. And it's just interesting what happens when you really set your heart on wanting a renewed mind. I'm just going to read some verses to you. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief." See where this whole thing works? Sometimes we're up here and trying to live the Christian life up here, but the heart still has a bunch of rottenness in it. I'm telling you, folks, don't even try to go there. Just be very honest with your life and say, "My heart needs to be cleansed by Christ, because I need a pure heart, because only the ones that have a pure heart will have the privilege of seeing God." Exclusively the ones with a pure heart. If you don't have a pure heart tonight, you must have a pure heart if you want to see God. Because that pure heart then is going to come up here and it's going to reflect right out of your life into fruitfulness for Christ's kingdom. It will. It will. If you're struggling with being fruitful in Christ's kingdom, then stop and think and say, "What's the deal here? What about my mind? What am I feeding on? What are my drives? What are my drives? What motivates me?" There are people that just work and work and work and work. I can tell you of a man in this community, he was a short man. When he was in school, he was one of the shortest boys in school. He was set out to prove when he was in school that he can play ball equally as well as the taller boys. Guess what? I don't know how old he is, probably 60. And he's still proving things to everybody else. I want to tell you something, brothers, sisters. This whole thing about your heart, how that affects into your mind, and how you make choices and why you make choices. Because when you have ill will against your brother, that's a choice you've made. That's a choice you've made. Life, this whole thing about there are no actions without you making a choice to do or not do something. Once I understood this, I thought, wow, I have to understand how this is. Matthew 12, verse 34 says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You can't hide this down here. Sometimes we get into a crunch situation, really a crunch situation, and right at that moment in that crunch situation, we say things that we usually don't. You know why? Because they were right here. Those things came right out of the heart. We can say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it." Yes, you did, because it came right out of the heart. Yeah, we're sorry we hurt people. That's good to apologize for that. But brothers and sisters, this whole thing right here is extremely critical that you understand what's in your heart is going to come right out. We are masters at refining that thing and manipulating that thing that people don't know what really is down in my heart. I could tell you horrific stories, bad stories, of men that came up here and led songs and taught Sunday school that had a very, very evil heart, totally hidden from you. Just like this is underground. And brothers, I'm hoping that you understand that this thing really is important for us to get a grip on what's in our heart. What motivates us? That's right in here. What motivates us? What inspires us? What drives us? Because it's right here. And that's the seat of humanity. And that comes up and that expresses itself right here. Out of a pure heart, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. That's in Matthew 15. See, people don't just kill somebody, most of the time at least. It's because there's thought given to them. People don't just commit adultery. There's thought given to that. And that's right here. Right here in the mind. That's where thought will and choice are. Thought, will, and choice are right here in the mind. And when we think about that, People make choices. You know, sin is a choice. When you sin, it's a choice. When you do right, when you have the opportunity to do wrong, it's a choice. It's a choice. It takes right here. That's why the scriptures come back and say that the mind becomes renewed at the new birth. Because it gives us a total different direction on what comes out as action. What comes out as action. Gives us a total different direction. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25 says, "And thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest." And I'm just picking out some phrases here. Go back and look at the context of those verses and you'll understand them. But the Bible talks about the secrets of the heart. And talking about the secrets of the heart, you had Steve Stutzman here some time ago. We attended one session, I think it was. And I don't know if you remember how that whole thing, that Land of Promise, did he have it here, the Land of Promise? Did he have that seminar here? I thought he did. Do you remember that when he talked about moral issues? We attended the one in Southern Indiana here in November. And so we're sitting in class there, and Steve is teaching about the moral problems that are among us in our plain churches. And you remember how it was? You have this workbook, and then you circle the issues that you're struggling with. If you're a man and you're struggling with lust, then you circle that. And when you get in your small groups, then you start talking about your struggles, and you pray together, and you help each other work through those things. This was the first time we had ever been to an LOB, Land of Promise, LOP, Land of Promise. And so we're not prepared for this. We're sitting there. Elsie and I are sitting over here. And Steve is teaching. Then he said, it's time for us to go into our processing classes, our groups. And then he said, I want to dismiss you to go to your classes. But he said, before we dismiss, he said, any husband and wives that are here, if there are secrets between you two that you have never talked to each other about, stay seated. Now, if I would say that tonight, how many of you would stay seated here tonight? How many of you would say, I looked at Elsie and I said, honey, I have no secrets. She looked at me and she said, I have no secrets. We got up to go out to our class, to our group, and we looked back over the audience and I have no idea how many couples were sitting there. And guess what? All of a sudden the heads go together like this and they just broke out bawling. He said, I'll send a couple to pray with you. It was a very, very moving part of the Land of Promise session. But you know what? If you're here tonight, there are secrets. I'm telling you, you can't go there. Husband and wives, you can't go there. If there are secrets, you can't go there. If you want to see God, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If there are secrets between you tonight, you talk about those when you get home. I don't care how bad they are. Recently somebody told me, he said, there have been times that I had to talk to my wife and it was so bad, I went and turned the light off. He said, I didn't even want her to see me when I'm talking. If that's what you need to do, do it. Get rid of those secrets. Get rid of those secrets. Young people, if there are secrets in your heart that you have never talked to anybody about, it's time you do. It's time you talk to somebody. You go to somebody that you have confidence and you say, I have never talked to anybody about this. But these are some of the problems that we have as church people. Is we have been allowed to some way exist with a heart that has secrets, with a heart that has darkness. And some way we exist in church because we have learned the words up here. And I just want to encourage you tonight, we can't be there. We can't go there. We can't do it. Do you remember the account in Acts chapter 8? I think that was the account where they laid hands on people and the Holy Spirit was poured out on people. And this man came and said, "Hey, I want that. I want to buy this opportunity to that when I lay hands on people, that they too are filled with the Spirit." This is what the apostle said. "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right with God, in the sight of God." Thy heart is not right. In other words, he had a wrong motive for what he wanted to do. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. My time is here to close. I want to just encourage you. What do you do if you find yourself with negative thought patterns? What do you do when you find yourself with neural paths that are negative? How do you get rid of them? Well, you know what Caroline Leaf says? Caroline Leaf says that those negative neural paths that we have in our brains take a minimum of 21 days to change. In other words, what that means is that you need to, with intent, daily, hourly intent, you need to say, "No, I'm finished with this thinking. I'm not going to think this negative anymore." You start praying, you start asking God to come and replace those negative thought patterns with positive thought patterns, where you love whatever the opposite of what you were struggling with. And I just want you to, this is not an overnight switch. Those compasses don't go away overnight. Those compasses don't go away overnight. They're going to take you deliberate, intentional work to change those negative paths. Take you deliberate, intentional work.
Don't worry about the times. You share what you haven't shared. For sure.
I want to be respectful. But I really want you to think, how can I change? I don't want to leave this service without you knowing how to change your negative thought patterns. If you have found yourself in situations where you are constantly thinking negative about people in church, that must change. That must change. That's not God's will for you. That is not God's will for you. And you know what? You are, in a very real way, restricting what God can do in your heart, because there are things in there that are not supposed to be there. There are attitudes in there. There are thoughts in there. This whole process here is very important that we change. And if you've been gossiping, I don't care what it is, repent, confess, repent, turn from it, talk to people. I became desperate with some things that I went and started talking to men about some of my struggles. I don't know how passionate you are in your heart about making that you have a pure heart. I don't know how passionate you are about that. I became passionate about that. There were things that I had to talk to Elsie about that I did not want to talk to Elsie about. But you know what happens? Out of that conversation comes freedom. Out of that conversation comes purity, over and over and over. That's how we live a pure life. And I'd like for us to just think about changing. Nobody can change this except you. Absolutely nobody can change this. You can take what I'm hearing, what I'm saying tonight, what you're hearing, but I can't change you. Remember, right here in the mind is where these choices are made. And that's where you need to go. I'll just tell you a story. That's a very personal story. I don't know how it is with you. There are people that say they have a perfect marriage. Well, Elsie and I don't have a perfect marriage. But we have a very good marriage. We have a very good marriage. But one reason it's good is because we talk. And I was looking at my relationship with Elsie, and there were some things that I wanted to change. And I'll just tell you something that I did. This is very personal, but I'll just tell you something that I did. In the evening when we'd go to bed, I'd try to, when Elsie's settled in, you know how you know when your spouse is settled in for the night. When I saw that Elsie settled in for the night, I would take my hand and I would just say, God, I declare the blessing of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ on Elsie. That's what I did. Put my hand down, I fell asleep. And when I was doing that, I have no idea why, but all of a sudden I began to smile. When I raised my hand, I'm laying there in bed, lights out, and I'm laying there and I'm just smiling and I'm saying, God, you as the God and Father of Jesus Christ, I just declare your blessing on Elsie. And I just conk out, I fall asleep. I had no clue what was coming. Didn't I tell you that it takes 21 days? 3-4 weeks later, I don't know how long it was because I wasn't even paying attention. All of a sudden, I could feel, literally feel, something in my brain changing. One afternoon and the next forenoon, it was like a 24-hour period. That something was, I don't know if there was a bridge, you know, left and right hemispheres, and if the bridges, if you study that, there was there. I don't know what happened, but I want to tell you, something radically happened. That I was like, I can't even really explain it. I really can't explain it to you. But I started thinking different about Elsie. Totally thinking different. And I'm like, what is this? I mean, it was all new. And so, I don't know how long it was. One evening we were in bed and I saw Elsie's ready to nestle in for the night. I said, honey, just leave the light on. I want to talk. And so we started talking about this. We started talking about it. It was almost like, what did I do wrong, honey? Well, no, I'm just telling you what happened to me. I can't talk anything about you. I don't know what happened. But I'm saying, if you want to take your level with God, your level with your church people, your level with your spouse, if you want to take that to a new level, this is the secret right here. This is the secret. It's how we think about each other. It's how we think about each other. Pretty quiet, isn't it? But that's where it is. That's where it is. I've been a person that I've allowed things to build up in my life and get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know where that is? It's all in my mind. The Bible talks about imaginations. Imaginations are images that you see in your mind. The root word of imagination is image. And they're images that you see in your mind. And those images become reality after a while. And then you start acting on those images that may be totally false impressions are not true whatsoever. But you know, people have images in their mind. And those images then begin to control. The Bible talks about reasonings. Remember the story where the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Who gave you this authority?" Jesus said, "Well, I'll ask you a question as well. The baptism of John, was it of God or was it of men?" Guess what the scriptures say? They got their heads together and it says, "And they reasoned among themselves. If we say this, we're going to get stoned. If we say this, then we're not believing that he's a prophet." And that's what reasonings are. Reasonings are mental deliberations that take place right here. And we reason things and we go back and forth and finally we come to a conclusion. These are all activities of the mind that the scriptures talk about. And that's why I'm bringing them up. Is because the scripture then that we read at the beginning, think on these things. And it's very, very positive. In closing, take your Bible and let's read it one more time. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Just verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's all read it together. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, your divine grace comes upon each one of us every day that we can live a life that deeply blesses and honors you because you are the real source of power and energy in our heart. Father, you've taken our heart and you've purified our heart. You've cleansed us from all sin. And out of this pure heart, we can have a mind that is renewed. A mind that blesses each other. A mind that encourages each other. A mind that is there to help and build up and strengthen. A mind that always places the others higher than ourselves. Father, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would be honored in this congregation by how our thoughts are totally pure and holy and positive thoughts about each other. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.